Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's give them the 50% off for HowStreet listeners. That's at VRTrader.com, and use the promo code 2022 half off, and you enter that in the promo code for any of the newsletters or annual report that you're interested in, and for any time frame you select. So it's 2022 half off. And also, as I normally do, I make that disclosure about not being a financial advisor nor providing financial advice, just a newsletter writer and analyst.
How would you describe what's going on in the stock markets right now?
A little bit of insanity and an euphoria involved. A lot of it having to do with NVIDIA. It seems like that's the only stock in the stock market people want to own or talk about. Particularly, it's the AI, you know, leader. And it's $1,200, and we've got the $1,250 a share. I remember just a couple of weeks ago, it sold off to about $750. The other big play is Taiwan Semiconductor, which is actually building a plant here in Phoenix, I guess, as a hedge against China taking over Taiwan. But I learned something interesting about it yesterday in an interview with someone else, that apparently NVIDIA filters or somehow processes their chips through Taiwan Semiconductor. So that's another big stock, if you believe in AI and the NVIDIA story, to own besides NVIDIA itself. But it's much cheaper. It's about $160 a share versus $1,200 a share for AI. But answering your question, yeah, just euphoria about the stock. They're splitting a 10-for-1 starting Monday morning. A lot of speculation, you know, regarding that. Running up, I think it hit its target, frankly. I think the unit is measuring technically. I think that 1250 area was probably it, but we'll see what happens Monday when it starts to trade. And that's just a short-term, you know, trading comment. I think there's, you know, technically there's gaps below the market, a couple hundred dollars below if the selling starts to unfold, which is inevitable for any high flyer, but we'll see what happens there. Meanwhile, there's other insanity going on. We've got the meme stocks, in particular GameStop, GME. There's a fellow on the internet who's been, you know, sending out pictures and talking about his position, stimulating other traders to jump in. I hear the SEC wants to investigate him. Meanwhile, you know, this little stock, they held, stopped trading a couple times today. I think it closed around $40 a share. It ran up into the mid-60s a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of speculation regarding a short squeeze in that stock. AMC, which was the other one that ran a couple of years ago along with GME, was up a little bit, but not running as much as the GameStop GME. So a lot of speculation with that one. You know, that's going on. It seems like, you know, financial reporters are talking all day about the GME stock, you know, the fact that it's up 20-30% a day and running huge volume, and a lot of traders. So it's fun for traders. You can catch some swings during the day, huge volume. We'll see what happens next week. I think earnings is coming out next week for GME, so that's encouraging traders to take a look at that. So, you know, just a lot of this kind of stuff, you know, going on in the market, you know, the speculation. So I think that, plus we have the summer solstice coming up, June 2021 time frame. And, you know, I think we're topping out here. I have a little
bear on my newsletter cover, you know, watch out, you know, bear warning, you know, like they put out on trails, you know, beware of the bear. I think we're due for a nice little sell-off here once this euphoria regarding NVIDIA and all this other stuff is coming out. And, you know, traders are looking for, you know, tomorrow morning, you know, supposedly there's another important government report, the U.S. job report number, which, you know, I, as you know, I'm very cynical about. I call the Bureau of Labor Statistics, BLS, the Bureau of Lying Statistics. You can't believe any of their numbers. They keep revising them. Traders are hoping that, you know, the jobs, you know, show a slowing, and that would make the Fed more likely to lower rates, which is another insanity, which, as you know, has been going on now for months and months about what the Fed's going to do and not do. As it turned out, it was irrelevant, because even though the Fed didn't lower rates, as everybody was hoping, the stock market still managed to go to highs. So just a bunch of nonsense, the whole thing about what the Fed's doing with the rates. The market does its own thing. The Fed does its own thing. The bond market, which is a long-term bond, they do their own thing regardless of what the Fed is doing. And in fact, the bonds, the 30-year bonds, have been rallying here in the last few days, I guess, anticipating, you know, the Fed lowering rates at some point. But it's so ridiculous because, like I said, the markets went up anyway. And actually, history says when you see the Fed lowering rates, that usually is around the time of a crisis and something negative has happened and they're sort of forced to lower rates. So whether that'll be the case this time or just a whole different sequence of events. But, you know, his bottom line is, you know, money is looking for a place to go. I thought, you know, Treasury bills were pretty good at 5.5% for those who want to be a conservative. But those who want to play, you know, you got the meme stocks like GME, you got NVIDIA, and, you know, all the AI related stuff. So I'd be a little cautious here. We'll see what the jobs report does tomorrow morning. Like I say, it's going to be a false number because the numbers are generally revised anyway. They're politically influenced. And we can talk about, you know, we had hours to talk about, you know, all the kinds of reports that are put out, you know, on the part of the government, you know, all their durable goods report, for example, you know, the other statistics, the PCE statistics that come out, which don't take into account, you know, food or energy costs. So, you know, my general rule is these government statistics you can't rely on. The only ones that I have any respect for would be industry-related statistics that are put out by the industry themselves, like the manufacturing index and stuff like that. So regardless of what it's going to say tomorrow, I still think the market's in a little toppy phase here, and you got to be careful here into the summer. And then, of course, you got Joe Biden out there and all the insane Democrats, you know, trying to get reelected. So, you know, whatever they're going to pull to try to get the market up, I think is something you can't discount between now and election time. I don't know what they could do other than we already have the government in there with the plunge protection team and the equity stabilization fund and all the kinds of manipulation that the government's involved with anyway that literally nobody even talks about in the media. They're just told not to even talk about it. But, you know, I've been talking about it for years. And, you know, we do have that bill that was entered in the U.S. Congress. I think we talked about this last week. It's the it's an H.R. bill to abolish the Federal Reserve, which is, you know, something that hasn't been done for a while. I think the H.R., I kind of look at the number here, what the actual number of the bill is. It's, I can see the number here on the screen. Anyway, it was entered the House of Representatives a couple of weeks ago. The last time a bill like this was entered was back when Ron Paul was a U.S. Congressman. That was back with 2008-09 time frame. Again, no discussion about this in the media at all. Again, a bill has been entered. Federal Reserve was created by Congress. It could be abolished by Congress. The thing is, though I'm for that, that's not a problem. The Fed is a problem, but not the only problem. You have Congress spending money like crazy. The budgets are out of kilter. The respect for the U.S. dollar has gone way down. That's why BRICS
the BRIC nations are gaining a lot of momentum and trying to create another currency backed by gold. So, you know, it's all U.S. government money management system from the Federal Reserve over to Congress, which is creating huge problems, and the rest of the world is sort of turned against the U.S. in that sense. That's why you have dozens of nations creating a whole bloc to counteract, I suppose, what the irresponsible actions on this side of the pond have created. So long and short, I'd be careful here short term, and we'll just, as always, take it a day at a time. But I presume with the election coming up, and even if we get a nice shakeout, which could be, you know, 5, 10, 15% to the downside, they'll probably try to rally him again into the election.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitz right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovitz. Mark, what's going on with gold?
It's fine. It just had a little bit of a pullback. Looking good to me. I just had a little bit of a correction here. My only concern is that if we get a shakeout in the markets, they throw the baby out with the bathwater. In other words, if we get a serious sell-off in the markets for whatever reason, or even a modest correction, you know, you see a lot of speculative stuff come down. You know, sometimes, you know, gold moves with stocks, doesn't always move contrary to stocks. Bitcoin and cryptos, the same thing could happen. So that's my only concern, that if we get a correction, will gold follow the market if we pull back, or we'll just follow its own path. But the chart to me looks like it, you know, topped out, had a little bit of a correction here. I'm still looking for near term, I guess within a year or so, that 2700 target. And I hate to exit the position. I just think it's there's a lot of momentum in that direction. There's a lot of uncertainty in the world. You got the BRIC nations doing what they're doing. In fact, they're having a big meeting, as you probably know, coming up here. So let's see. I don't know when the exact date is. I think it's next. It might be next week. The BRIC nations are meeting. I have a big visual on my newsletter screen here. It's coming up, but I don't have. Let's see here. What date is coming up here? It says 97 countries. They're meeting, I think it's June 12th to 24th, so it's coming up pretty soon here. So it's a picture actually having my website, some of the top nations and all the leaders holding hands. You got President Xi in the middle, and then to his right, you've got the President of India. To his left, you've got Putin, and they're all smiling and laughing together. You got the Brazilian president standing there. So big grins on their face, and you know, I'm sure that their big friend is not the U.S. with regard to this meeting, because they try to create a alternate currency. But the reason I bring that up is because a lot with gold is related to what the BRICS are trying to accomplish, and we know central banks have been accumulating gold, and that's one of the reasons the dollar has been strong, and you know, they need to convert their currencies to buy gold, and that drives their currencies down, the dollar up in their reserve accounts. So that's what's going to take gold a lot higher. Actually, you know, I'm doing more work on gold. I'm just wondering if we could see, you know, 3,500 plus in gold in the next year or two, and the 2,700 number that I've come up with is conservative. So definitely a store value and long overdue. If we wanted to ever abolish the Federal Reserve, that would strengthen gold more, because people would want to have, you know, some type of greater safety for their money. If fear the Fed's not around, that maybe things could go more awry than they already have. So we'll see if that unfolds. But interesting times, and remaining positive on gold and gold shares. I'm not going to sell them. I just think there's too much upside. There's too much risk. And even if we get one of these big shakeouts, you know, gold does this occasionally. You know, it's running high and great, and next thing you know, you've got a $300 correction, and then it goes back up again. So about the worst case scenario I could see, and I'm not predicting this will happen, but we got to about 2400, so maybe we pull back to 2000, 2100 in the worst case super sell off. But I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm not looking for that. But that would just afford another big buying opportunity, assuming that came this summer, and
That's assuming, of course, I'm correct about the markets doing a bit of a corrective phase here.
What's the story for silver?
Same thing. They're running pretty much in parallel. One of my favorite names, I keep it on the list, and you can see it on the newsletter. You know, it's been around. We've been talking about this for decades, is the old Central Fund of Canada. The old symbol was CEF. They kept the symbol CEF, but it was acquired by Sprott, which is, you know, the big energy metals company in Canada. And it's about roughly 50% silver, 50% gold. And it's a good, you know, and it's physical. They store the physical metal. So, you know, I think they're the oldest in the business. I think it was in the mid-1960s when that fund was created, backed by physical gold and silver. So the gold and silver sort of, you know, silver's catching up a little bit, and is actually of the two investments, you know, the one has a greater percentage gain potential here since it's so far off its highs and gold's already into highs. So silver just has to get back to $50, just equal the high that we saw back in, you know, in the 2011 time frame. So I think it has a lot of potential even beyond that. But that's one way to play it, where you got your hands in both kitties, so to speak, by owning one fund that controls both the gold and silver. So I've owned this thing for decades. I just love the vehicle. So it's a good balance.
What's going on with NVIDIA now? It's topped $3 trillion in value. It's now more valuable than Apple. Is it really worth $3 trillion?
You know, I have no way of gauging that. You know, the market always goes to extremes. The business model that they have and the super demand for their chips and earnings projections seem to justify this level. And they are doing business, and it is booming for them. So you've got a 10-for-1 split, as I mentioned a few moments ago, starting on Monday. So instead of a $1,250 stock or $1,200, I think it closed around the $1,200 level, will be $120 a share. You own just the same percentage of the company, but you'll have a cheaper vehicle. So usually when that happens, you get, you know, I'm saying usual. Nothing is carved in stone, but that attracts buyers. You know, instead of, oh, gee, I can't afford a $1,200 stock, but I can afford a $120 stock, so I'll buy a couple shares of that. So it might, you know, more than likely, it'll still try to push it higher. But to me, on the charts, frankly, it looks like it's pretty much near its technical peak here. So we'll see how it plays out early next week when it starts to trade 10-for-1. But to answer your question, the valuation, I mean, this is like saying why, you know, why is Apple valued as a $1 trillion company, or, you know, why any of them, Meta or Microsoft or any of the big names. You know, it's just a lot of money chasing a few names, Jim. You know, it's like the Magnificent Seven we've been talking about the past year or so. Seems they've narrowed it down to Magnificent Four because a couple of them haven't done as well, like Tesla. But, you know, just, you know, they're heavily weighted in the indexes. It's like self-fulfilling prophecy. The prices just keep going up and up, and it creates these huge valuations. I think they're way overdone. That's why I'm looking for a pullback, but doesn't mean it can't go higher later. You know, if the investors are told by their advisors that you got to own the big names, you know, from Apple down to NVIDIA, to seven names in there, including Netflix and Tesla and others, then that's what happens. And money allocation is put into those names. It messes up all the measurements of value, particularly for the big indexes. You know, like the equal weighted index, for example, don't show the kind of gains that the regular index does, because the regular index is heavily weighted by these six or seven names. So if you're an equal-weighted index, you're not doing as well as you are in the index that's heavily weighted by these big names, including NVIDIA, and you get, you know, better percentage return. So it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But, you know, back in the 1960s and 70s, we had the Nifty 50, you know, names like Polaroid back then, you know, not around anymore, you know, some of the big, you know, I'm trying to think some of the other names back in the 1960s, which were the big Nifty 50 names of the technology world. But, you know, Polaroid sort of sticks out as one of the hot names way back then. I'm sort of dating myself, because I remember trading Polaroid decades ago. But yeah, and they come and go. You know, there's always cycles. And then, you know, next big cycle, you won't be hearing about NVIDIA or Microsoft or you know, Tesla as much. There'll be a whole new group and new technology, but that could be, you know, a couple decades away. Meanwhile, that's where the action is. And, I mean, I'm not paying $1,250 for NVIDIA. You know, if it had a significant correction, I might take a look at it. But competition will come along, Jim. You know, people want to get into the business, catch up with NVIDIA, and it might be a couple years away, and the others will be producing the chips that they're producing, and the stock will come down, and other companies will take some of that market share.
What's going on with crude?
It looks like it's bottoming out here a little bit. Had a little pullback. Looks pretty good to me. You know, OPEC's supposed to be holding back production. Doesn't seem to be holding the prices here too much, but the state of the world and with the need for oil and so forth, I just think we're experiencing a pullback. So I'm still holding my oil stocks, and my favorite Occidental Petroleum with Warren Buffett's involvement is still high on my list. So yeah, I'm still in those, holding them. I think it's a correction, and you know, my opinion is we're going. Good number I have is about $190 a barrel for gold, oil, you know, coming up here in the next couple of years or so. So big picture up for both geopolitical and geocosmic reasons. So, but as a trader, I would say you have a little bit of a correction here, and it looks like it might be bottoming out.
What's happening with Bitcoin?
Real interesting, because you're right near resistance up here at the high. The high of Bitcoin is just over $73,000 a coin, and it got over 71,000, and it's sort of flirting with its highs. If it takes that out, and I'm not saying it will, but it's close enough that it could, we're looking at $88,000 to $90,000 for the coin. That's the way I look at it. Now, big support, I think I mentioned this before, is around the $56,000 level, which is, you know, about $15,000 lower. So that would have to hold, I think, in a bullish scenario for the near term. I don't want to see that number come out. Then you could be looking for at a more significant correction. So we're at a critical point here. It's flirting with that 71,000 level. Can it take out the 73,000 and break out here? And if it does, then you're going to get a huge move, as I mentioned, substantially higher. So we're on a teeter-totter here, right near the highs, testing highs. Will it break through or not? Ultimately, it will. But, you know, we're in this time frame, as I mentioned, with the risk in the overall market, and maybe Bitcoin will participate to the downside if we get this expected correction that I've been talking about, since it's sort of a reflection of speculation in the markets. Doesn't always move with the market, but it tends to. Cryptos tend to move more when you know, money is loose and things are more speculative. So we'll see. We should know here by, you know, the end of June, early July, how that's all going to play out. I sold my Bitcoin and Ethereum on a trade, just because I wasn't sure if it was going to break out here or not. So, you know, if it breaks out, I can always jump in, because obviously, if I feel it's going to go to 88 or 90,000 a coin, and it takes out 73, it's going to be worth the trade. So let's see how it unfolds. Also, a lot of the action in the crypto area has been related to the Ethereum situation, and the expectation that, you know, an ETF is going to be approved for Ethereum as it was for Bitcoin, and that's creating that created a nice explosive move in Ethereum here in the last couple of weeks. So the question is there going to be another ETF for XRP, which is the other hot crypto, which was created by Ripple, and they had big, as you know, a lot of lawsuits with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They seem to have come out on top for some of those lawsuits. And their chief officer for Ripple, which controls XRP, was interviewed on TV the other day, and he thinks it's about a year or two away for an ETF that might get approved by the SEC, which has been squawking and screaming about doing this, but they did it anyway. Well, I guess political pressure and money pushing for it. So he thinks there'll be an XRP ETF. And XRP is supposed to be the big ETF for commerce. And some feel that this could be another huge, huge opportunity. And I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying it trades around 50 cents for the coin. And when you're looking at Bitcoin at $70,000 a coin, and if XRP and look at Ethereum, you know, trading around the 4,000 level, among $4,000, and here we're talking XRP around 50 cents. If these guys are right, and I'm not saying they are, but a lot of people believe it is, I mean, there could be one hell of an opportunity in XRP. So we'll see how all that plays out in the next couple of years. So you may want to take a look at that. And if you're speculatively inclined, you know, buy a couple XRP cryptos, because at 50 cents, you know, you can only lose 50 cents, right? So something to look at.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
Oh, we got a lot of stuff in the geocosmic sphere. You got a lot of activity upstairs. According to spaceweather.com, you know, I pay attention to this stuff because it affects our planet and could, you know, shut our markets down. Apparently, we're experiencing the highest sunspot activity in 22 years right now. So, you know, what does that mean? You know, we've had some close calls here. We had some CMEs sent to the planet affecting radios. So it almost didn't damage the Elon Musk Starlink satellites, but it's going on. So there's still, you know, potential out there. So just watching it, we have no control over it. We also have the El Nino, La Nina, and El Nino patterns unfolding here. So it's what they call the ENSO pattern, E-N-S-O, in the tropical Pacific. So El Nino, neutral, El Nino is a warm phase, El Nino is a cool phase. So apparently they're looking for a La Nina phase, and they think that could possibly create you know, some dangerous Atlantic hurricanes here in this part of the world. So they're projecting 60% chance that La Nina will take charge this year versus the El Nino, and that apparently is conducive to more storms. So that obviously, you know, affects a lot of things, particularly if there's some bad storms and, you know, transportation, oil, all kinds of interesting things. So see, hurricane season is starting now here in this hemisphere. So let's see how it pans out. So that's a couple of things watching, the solar activity, the La Nina effect, and that seems to be the hottest subject right now in the geocosmic.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.